Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
He joins us via our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. We love talking football with Mike Florio. He is the creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. And Mike is on one right now when it comes to a major story that has broken in the NFL over the past 24 hours. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. How is everyone today? And you're right, this is supposed to be the slow time in the NFL. There is nothing slow about what's gone on the past couple of days.
All right, Mike, I'm going to give it a shot to try to explain just kind of in a synopsis form what exactly happened, and then you can help fill in the blanks on this. So you and Pablo Torre, on the latest edition of Pablo Torre Finds Out yesterday, you guys took a 61-page document that had been hidden and exposed it to the world. And it was a 63-minute long video in which you guys went through how this all happened, what are the ramifications. So here's the gist of what happened. Deshaun Watson, as we all remember, signed that big 5-year, $230 million fully guaranteed contract in 2022. And of course, the NFLPA was like, yes, we want fully guaranteed contracts. And of course, ownerships, they all pushed back saying, we don't want to do this. Why would you do this, Cleveland? So then you have Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray trying and failing to lock in on the fully guaranteed contracts, but the NFLPA, via the mechanisms in the collective bargaining agreement, filed a grievance against NFL owners on the basis of colluding against fully guaranteed contracts. This went to arbitration and ended up receiving expedited discovery. Now, in discovery, we learned that not only the NFL Management Council tell all NFL owners that fighting against guaranteed contracts like Watson's was a priority for the league in a closed door 2022 meeting. But there was also an exchange between Dean Spanos, the Los Angeles Chargers owner, and Michael Bidwell, the Arizona Cardinals owner, that hints at collusion. After Bidwell signed Murray to a contract that was not fully guaranteed, Spanos congratulated him. Later in the conversation, Bidwell replies to Spanos, quote, I think many teams will be happy with it once they have a chance to review. Cleveland really screwed things up with that extension for Deshaun Watson, but I was resolved to keep the guarantee relatively low. Now, here's where I want you to interject here, because this is bad. This is all very bad. But then we find out kind of why it went this way and why the NFLPA didn't let its players know that this was going on because, well, their former president, J.C. Treader, a former offensive lineman for the Packers, and this is another reason to hate the Packers, if we're being honest, he's been out of the league since 2021, but he kept the document away from the public and the players. You can go now, Mike, and explain what happened next.
Well, and let me give you a little background and fill in a couple of gaps here, because the background for this is important. In the 2011 and 2020 CBA negotiations, the union attempted to get the league to agree to fully guaranteed contracts across the board for all players. And obviously, that didn't happen. But separate and apart from the broader collective bargaining relationship between management and labor, you've got the individual relationships between players and teams. And the CBA allows teams to give players fully guaranteed contracts. So when the Browns did that with Deshaun Watson mid-March of 2022, that's what set the alarms off at 345 Park Avenue. And that's what caused them, through communications that became available through discovery between general counsel, now former Jeff Pasch, and Commissioner Roger Goodell, they set the stage for the meeting in Palm Beach, March 28th of 2022, where the teams were told, don't do this. We have to restrict guarantees and contracts. And what's amazing to me is that, and here's the metaphor I've been using. They were caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They were caught with crumbs on their shirt. They were caught with a mouthful of cookie. And they said to the arbitrator, I'm not eating cookies. And the arbitrator believed it. Because what you mentioned with the Bidwell-Spanos exchange, that's evidence. That's circumstantial evidence that they did what the league told them to do. Greg Penner, the Broncos owner, communicating with his partners within the confines of the Broncos organization. The other owners are going to be happy with our deal with Russell Wilson. That's evidence that they did what the league told them to do. And the idea that the league told the teams to do it, and the team said, yeah, we're good. That's the ruling. That shows you how ridiculous the ruling is and how wrong the ruling is. But both sides decided to hide it. I understand now why the league wanted to hide it. You touched on the other issue. The union hid it, and the belief within the union is, Bob Lotori reported on this, the union's protecting J.C. Treader, who apparently has designs on being the executive director after Lloyd Howell, and it was viewed as not a good look for J.C. Treader to have said not so nice things about Russell Wilson's failure to hold that rope. That's what this was about. It became a tug of war. Who's going to hold the rope the tightest post Deshaun Watson? And it turned out that the league held the rope. No fully guaranteed contract for Kyler Murray. No fully guaranteed contract for Russell Wilson. No fully guaranteed contract for Lamar Jackson. By the time those three deals were done, we were able to agree that Deshaun Watson was an aberration, threat neutralized, and the league can move on without having to worry about players getting fully guaranteed contracts. That's it in a nutshell. Big nutshell, but that's it in a nutshell.
Well, and Mike, I feel like there's so much nuance to this because there's union law, there's labor law, there's understanding that those two are different from, say, a typical civil lawsuit. And also the fact that an arbitrator can be so judgmental within even, I think, a bigger scope than people understand. It really is an opinion judgment a lot of times. And that's why this was able to be decided the way it was. But what's sad about this is your union is supposed to represent its members in a way that actually does. This just sounds like a lot of CYA.
Well, and I believe, as it relates to the grievance itself, that the union did a very good job of harvesting the evidence to prove collusion. And I believe, and this is one of the problems with arbitration, this is why the rich and the powerful prefer arbitration to the jury system. There is something magical and special and unique about the collective wisdom of jurors. And I think there is value in allowing, in an adversarial process, lawyers to stand up in front of a box of jurors and say to them, this is what happened and this is why. To use metaphors like the cookie thing, that's what gets juries to understand and apply their common sense. And the arbitrator's decision in this case, when you have one person who's a lawyer who gets caught up in technicality and doesn't apply common sense and accepts the face value, self-serving testimony of multi-billionaires who say we didn't participate in the plan to collude, that's how it all gets thrown off the rails. So it's a great system for the NFL to not have to deal with a jury, because I believe a jury would have found for the players in this case. And I would have loved to have been the one standing in front of the jury making the case during a closing argument as to why this is clear and obvious collusion. So that's unfortunate that the system short-circuited what should have been justice here. But yeah, the union separately has some problems flowing directly from the fact that they hit this thing. Because to the extent that there are other players who could have filed immediate grievances for their own contracts based upon what was found in this January 14 ruling, they only have 50 days to do it. That ship has sailed. By hiding this from them, the union has cut their rights out at the knees. And now the union may be facing liability to those players. And I know that multiple players are exploring what their options are, both against the league and against the union.
Mike Florio, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, joining us here on Raheem and Harris, along with Mark Grody, to talk about the collusion that didn't happen because it was ruled as to not have happened by an arbitrator between the NFL and the NFLPA, and why the NFLPA hid this not only from the public but from their own members. As you just said, 50 days is all you have to come up with some reasons why you should get something, but now that's passed. The statutory limit has passed for them. What I want to know is, because it was Deshaun Watson and because he was so awful, did the NFL in that alone dodge a big bullet because of how that worked out?
There's a PR aspect to this where I think the union has horribly failed, because the fans and most in the media accept the fact that they lock arms and make these decisions and collude and compare notes and behave in a way other than the way competitors should behave. This all goes back to a Supreme Court case that I think got started in Chicago, the American Needle case against the NFL. The Supreme Court found in 2010, because the NFL tried to argue it is a single entity for antitrust purposes, the Supreme Court found that the NFL is still a collection of independent businesses that are in competition and subject to the antitrust laws. Now, the NFL enjoys limited exemption from antitrust through its labor agreement and through the broadcast antitrust exemption. Otherwise, they're in competition. And we just kind of expect that they're not really in competition, that they do compare notes like Dean Spanos and Michael Bidwell did. Could you imagine the CEO of Coke and the CEO of Pepsi comparing notes on what a key employee got in his or her most recent contract negotiation and exchanging the kinds of texts we saw between the two CEOs and owners of $2 billion organizations that are supposed to be in competition? That's what's so ridiculous about this. And this is where I think the union has failed more than anything else, allowing this presumption to percolate and exist that, yeah, this is what they do. We just kind of shrug. Oh, yeah, that's what they do. They're not supposed to do it. And that's the key. And that's why I think the union, if they handle this properly, they need to take this and use it as a hammer in every possible context, legal, PR, go to the Department of Justice, go to the antitrust division, give them this opinion and say you should investigate the NFL for the antitrust violations that are occurring for employees other than players. It's long been believed the NFL colludes as it relates to coaches' pay, for example. So there's so much the union could do to create chaos for the league, and they have done nothing.
This segment with Mike Florio is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And I know you get a lot of pushback from, frankly, people who don't know anything. But I think it is important to illustrate why this case isn't just important because it's sports. What you just talked about with the discussion between Pepsi and Coke, for example, that is the original spirit behind non-competes, which has gone so far now, and employers will use it so far as to prevent fast food hourly employees, say here in Chicago, because that was a practice, from going across the street to a competitor. And I think it's important that you're pointing out that when these rights get taken away on any level, it's going to hurt everybody. For example, if Ed O'Bannon doesn't happen, we aren't talking about how everybody in Illinois gets to wager on sports. So I think that that part of it deserves some time here as well.
Well, and it all flows from the basic reality of what antitrust is. And I'm having flashbacks now to last summer, because the slow time supposedly last summer for me was occupied by reading a 20,000-page transcript from the trial against the NFL in an antitrust case for the fixed overpricing of the Sunday ticket package in order to protect the contracts they had with CBS and Fox, because CBS and Fox didn't want people to get Sunday tickets, so they jacked up the price so people wouldn't get it. In that case, if I recall correctly, in the opening statement, the lawyer for the plaintiffs explained, if you've got, and I think the example we used was two coffee shops in town, and that's it, and they come together and they say, here's how we're going to do things. We're going to set a minimum price for our coffee. We're going to agree that this is what we're charging for our coffee. We're going to agree that this is what we're paying our employees. That's what the antitrust laws are meant to prohibit. Companies from coming together and recognizing we can set the prices and all make money. We can limit the costs and all make money. They're supposed to be in competition. That's where all of this flows from. And it's why the NFL had a $4 billion verdict against it last year. The verdict got thrown out, but that's still pending on appeal in the Sunday Ticket case. And it's why the NFL dodged the bullet here. They're supposed to be competing. And that Bidwell and Spanos text message, to me, that is the ultimate circumstantial evidence that they're not. But fortunately for the NFL, I wasn't the arbitrator in the case.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you can extrapolate it to groceries. You can extrapolate it to airline tickets.
Anything.
That's why I think this is such an important topic for anyone. Know your rights.
These are independent businesses that are supposed to be in competition, and they are not, as evidenced by Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson.
I can't let you get away here today, Mike, without asking you if you believe that Aaron Rodgers will only play one more year of football in the National Football League, and will he still be starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers when the Stillers come to Soldier Field in November?
Lures.
Will he,
right before Thanksgiving. Right Sunday before Thanksgiving.
That's right. Will he still be the
healthy,
starter?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if he's healthy, I don't know that he's going to be healthy. He got banged around a lot last year. He just needs to get rid of the football before he gets hit. But what he said yesterday was, I'm pretty sure this is it for me. I mean, is that really – I know we have to cover it because it's Aaron Rodgers – but I think anyone would say, I'm pretty sure this is it for him. Like, okay, yeah, he's going to be 42 on December 3rd. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. And the biggest challenge for the Steelers and for Rodgers is this. If they exceed expectations, if they get to the Super Bowl or even get close to it, like the 2009 Vikings did with Brett Favre, they need to study what happened to the 2010 Vikings with Brett Favre. There's no guarantee if you run it back with a guy who's getting deeper and deeper into his 40s that it's going to work the next time around, because next year he'll be 42 going on 43. And the expiration date is there. Father Time is undefeated. He's still got a great arm. He will be playing on the Sunday before Thanksgiving at Soldier Field if he relies on the arm more than his legs. And if he does what we saw Tom Brady do a lot late in his career, just get rid of the football. Even if you're going to throw an interception, get rid of the football before you take a hit, because you're going to be taking hits from guys who are literally half your age and maybe twice your size.
Roethlisberger did that too, didn't he? Right at the end, it was just get rid of this damn ball.
Get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
Your legs go before your arm goes. Except for like a Kirk Cousins who uses his whole body to throw the ball, and he may be done. But Rodgers can still throw the ball all arm, and it makes a sound that you rarely hear a quarterback make. So he's still got it, and he's far better than what their other options are. He's just got to stay healthy. But yeah, I think if he's smart about getting rid of the ball, he'll be there at Soldier Field, and that'll be a hell of – there's a lot of compelling games this year involving the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers.
Played all 17 games last year. Just want to remind people of that at his old
– 5-12, his worst season ever.
Sure did. Plenty to prove. Plenty to prove.
And Marshall has the Steelers going to the Super Bowl.
He says their potential is the Super Bowl.
Yep, sure do believe it. Sure do.
You sound really convincing.
I do, too. Yeah. But you know what? You know what? You got the Ravens. You got the Bills. You got the Chiefs. You got the Bengals. You also got the Texans.
Yeah.
The Texans bumped the Steelers in 2023 in Houston. There's multiple teams the Steelers are going to have to navigate.
Floor 9-8, ceiling Super Bowl. I got you, Mike Floor. Me, you and I are aligned.
No, I'm team Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. As long as they exist, Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills.
That's cool.
Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. Mm. Mike Florio, thank you so much for the discussion. We look forward to it every week.
Have a great week.
Thanks, Mike.
That was Mike Florio, the editor and creator-in-chief of Pro Football Talk.
You got that right, Robbie? You got that right?
I almost fainted.
I mean, technically, any team can get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, we're not doing that. We're not downplaying. Not after the grief I've received over the last couple of weeks from what I said.
Coach him up, Marshall.
I'm going to do what he said and go back and look at the 2010 Minnesota Vikings.
Remember what he said the ceiling was, right? Like 6 wins?
I think they're a 10-win team, 9-8, somewhere around there, but I also think so are the Bears.
I think it's going to go badly. The guy's going to be 42 years old.
We got to go to break.
God.
We got to talk about the Bulls draft. Can Aaron Rodgers play basketball?
Royers?
That would be embarrassing for everybody involved. We need to know who the Bulls are going to draft. We have some possible names.
Who are these guys?
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody know who these guys are? Marshall?
We got some people who can tell you, okay. So we're going to listen to them next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Look, I have full confidence in our staff, regardless where we pick him. I think we can always find value, and watching what Matas has done and his progression during the year, I think that gives you hope. And again, the way I defined it, the way we want to build it, is with young players with experience. This group knows that expectations are going to be higher next year, and I think they're going to be ready for it.
That was Arturis Karnišovas. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score, and tonight is draft night. The draft is at 7 o'clock, and just in case you're wondering, yeah, we're going to have draft coverage. Who do you think is joining us? Chuck Swirsky. He's going to be on after the Cubs postgame show, what? Reacting to round one of the NBA draft until midnight. Late night basketball with Chuck. He'll break down what the Bulls do with that 12th overall pick. That can be heard on The Score in the Odyssey app tonight. I think the biggest question isn't just what are the Bulls going to do with their draft pick at 12. It really is the case of they could definitely draft for need here, and I would be okay with it.
When you say for need, you mean a big, don't you?
I do. I mean a big. I mean a strong 4 or 5. I mean somebody who can defend at the rim. I need a modern center.
What about Kaman Maluak from Duke? 7'1", 250 pounds. Let me give you what the Ringer wrote about him. That's who they projected the Bulls taking at number 12. Maluak sliding this far would bring some desperately needed clarity for the indiscernibles. That's what they called them. He'd be the first high-powered rim-pressuring force they've had since a young Daniel Gafford. Next to elite lob throwers like Josh Giddey and Lonzo Ball, Kaman could just lie back and relax as they shovel food into his mouth like he's the plant from Little Shop of Horrors.
Feed me, Seymour! That's Audrey, too.
But even as an unrefined defensive anchor, Maluak could level up Chicago's half-court defense immediately. He's the type of massive drop big who forces finishers to leave their feet in indecision several feet higher up the lane than they would prefer to. Seems like he'd be a no-brainer for the Bulls if he's available. Are we all good with Maluak being the pick if the current constructed roster stays similar to what it is heading into the day?
Yeah, I mean, I would be good with that particular need being addressed because we know Arturis Karnišovas said summer 2026 is when they're going to have flexibility. And I think he says that because that's when Vooch's contract runs out. Do I still think Vooch can be moved? Yes. Do I think that tonight is an excellent example of seeing already with all these trades that we've seen come down even recently? Boston's trying to get under that second apron, the trades that have been made. Could we see a lot happen tonight? I think so. But regardless, get a big. I can't even believe that the discussion, I get it, Jakachonis, Kasperis Jakachonis from the Illini is a big discussion, not just because he's local, but because, you know, there is that kinsmanship there as far as nationality with Arturis Karnišovas, but I just don't think he's going to be available. I think he's probably going top 10 to Houston or something.
You're talking about Jakachonis, or you're talking about
Jakachonis?
Yeah. Okay, well, you would hope so. He would be
Sorry, I say it with a different accent.
No. I'm saying he would be a bad pick for the Bulls because they already have a guy who does the stuff he does that they're going to probably overpay, his name being Josh Giddey. You look at Jakachonis' skill set, and we talked to John Hollinger yesterday about this, and he, in his top 75 guys, had him up there, but he really does all the same stuff that Giddey does, and some of it maybe not as well, although he might be a little bit more physical than Giddey and a little bit better suited defensively based on what we've seen from Josh Giddey. He's not a great shooter, though. I think they need guys, if you're going to have a guard, your guards have to be able to shoot. You look at the NBA Finals as a perfect example of guys where there weren't like superstars outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You can argue Jalen Williams, Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam. But the other guys who supplement, you've got to have great supplemental pieces. If you want to go with the Arturis Karnišovas build, the 9-to-10, or just what other teams are doing right now in this moment, guys who shoot the ball well.
The 9 to 10 good players as opposed to two or three superstars. I think that's always worth having to describe in a way that makes it where you get the contrast.
Yeah, well, the big three era is over. That's what the second apron has done, because if you stay above a certain luxury threshold, they take away draft picks. There are real penalties now for doing that, and that's why everybody's desperate to stay under that, especially if you don't feel like you're contending.
And will that lead to what we've talked about on the show, parity in the NBA, what, seven straight years?
For the first time ever.
Yes, it absolutely
for the first time
will.
Ever, and this will continue to occur, in part because of that.
So OKC, the seventh different champion in seven seasons for the NBA, the first time that that's happened in the NBA.
So Sam Smith, who always puts out worthy content, did mention Moloch from Duke in his discussion, also mentioned Derek Queen from Maryland. We've talked about him a lot, of course. Asa Newell from Georgia, Danny Wolf from Michigan, Thomas Sorber from Georgetown, and a name that has popped up recently from France, Yoann Berger.
So I like Yoann Berger.
There is a bear in there.
But you
does he slide up on the draft prospects?
Oh, absolutely.
Now? All right.
Yoann Berger. Yes, bear.
Emphasis on the bear.
He just goes by bear.
So he's a 6'10"
guy.
Just call me bear.
19-year-old, right?
Yeah.
And so it seems like
from
he
Slovenia.
Would be yeah, it seems like he would be more of a project because he's 19.
Big time. Big time.
But when you ride the hot hand, AK, like a lot of people said Modest Buzelis was a project, but we saw the development arc and how it's growing. I could understand why they would want to go ahead and continue with that process as well.
And he could block shots right now. Like he can, that's his thing. So he
again,
I think
rim
he can
protection would be key.
Yeah.
My thing when you're building a modern NBA roster is your bigs have to be able to be rim runners, lob catchers, and rim protectors. That's what I like out of a big. And if that big can also knock down a three, that's a bonus.
Oh, are you kidding? That's the secret sauce.
That's almost a must, like if you want to go to the next level, right?
Let's listen also, because when Casey Johnson talks, I listen, especially when I know that he and Sam, to me, are two who are incredibly tapped into what Team Acme, a.k.a. me, Arturis Karnashevas, Mark Eversley, are likely to do. So let's hear what Casey Johnson had to say on the Fast Break on CHSN about what he thinks happens at 12.
From everything I've been told, they are very confident they're going to get a good player at 12. I have not heard much talk about them trading up. And the two names that I'm hearing the most linked to the Bulls are Colin Murray-Boyles and Noah Essengue, the French prospect. Pretty different players. Colin Murray-Boyles, probably the best defensive prospect in the draft. Just very versatile, very confident in his defensive ability. His comp at the combine that he told us was OKC's Jalen Williams, so that's a pretty good comp if you're a Bulls fan, and he's available at 12. If he's not, and Essengue is the pick, you know, that's a bet on upside. He's 18. Played professionally, very athletic, can get up and down the floor. And that's kind of the big takeaway and the big theme that you're hearing associated with the Bulls is they definitely want to add a player that fits with this style of play, you know, with getting up and down the court, playing fast in transition, taking a lot of threes.
So here's what I love about that particular player out of South Carolina. He's 6'7", 239 pounds, so he's not like light. Probably could add a little bit more muscle, but he's not going to get pushed around. He's 20 years old, and he is a bit of a Swiss Army knife. Some of the other comparisons that we've seen, Draymond Green, Anthony Mason, Julius Randle as far as the offensive end, Boris Diaw, Meta World Peace. If he can become any of the guys I just listed, that's a great pick at number 12. He is a physical defender. That's why being the 239 matters. And they're saying they think his three-point shooting can get better than the split it was last year in college where he only shot 26.5% from three.
Yeah, I think that there is every reason to believe, especially with NBA coaching, I don't know why that wouldn't improve. I also want to hear what John Hollinger had to say about a name that has been very prevalent recently. And when I say recently, I mean like within the past 24 hours. South Carolina forward prospect Colin Murray-Boyles.
Colin Murray-Boyles, if he is there at 12, I think he'd be a great fit in Chicago. He can really defend. His shooting, I think, is coming around. That's probably the most suspect part of his game right now. But he can score on the block. He can make plays and passes and whatnot from the perimeter. And again, at the defensive end, I think he would really help Chicago a lot. A multi-positional defender, can guard bigs, can switch out onto the perimeter. I think he'd be a really interesting choice for Chicago.
So more about CMB, adding to what you were saying.
It's the 7 foot three quarters wingspan that really sells that. And the idea that we're hearing the Bulls prioritizing defense, that's new, and that is welcomed.
I also look at the list of guards, you know,
here we go.
I know, and the list, you know, is I feel like Vijay Edgecombe is really getting a lot of, like, hot comp right now, you know, like I'm hearing Dwayne Wade be brought up in Vijay's discussion.
76ers.
That's all great, but he's just not going to be there.
Right. Like, well,
these
yes.
are not guys that I can pay attention to. You think so? You think
well,
he goes
no, I'm just going off of the mock drafts that I was looking at. It seemed like he was placed with Philly with multiple people.
They've got the guy who refused to work out for Philly, Ace Bailey, in a free fall of sorts. If he was to fall to 12, I think you might have to pull the trigger on that because the potential is there, and Billy Donovan has done a decent job for the most part, Patrick Williams excluded, with development. When you look at what's happened with Ayo Dosunmu, Kobe White, and some of the other players that have been on the Bulls.
I wish Dalen Terry could be brought into that conversation. Like
he's in the Patrick Williams category right now.
And, you know, I think about that a lot. Like, we've talked a lot about the 2022 draft, and for example, you know, Nemhard gets taken from Indiana after Dalen Terry at 18. And you always look at that, right? Like that's how we assess.
In all sports.
But when he gets taken at 18, you know, they do start to add up in that way. And you're trying to figure out how everybody fits on the roster.
I do not often go to Fox Sports for my basketball information. But just so you know, they put out a mock draft. And at 12, they had Carter Bryant, small forward, 6'7", 215 pounds. He played at Arizona, and the quote around him was, "Weird to see a guy who averaged 6.5 points per game coming off the bench being drafted in the lottery, but it's all about measurements and potential. I don't see it, but teams see him as a Jalen Williams type player if he can improve his offense." Who does that sound like?
It sounds like Patrick Williams.
It sounds like Dalen Terry to me.
But when I think of coming off the bench and the measurements and the potential,
that's true.
That's why I thought about Patrick Williams.
Yeah, I just don't. They can't afford a miss here. They can't afford a miss at number 12.
Patrick Williams was taken at number four, ladies and gentlemen. Number four, and he's living a great life, man.
There are busts every year. Even the best general managers have drafted busts, but they don't have a bunch of picks, and that's why we have to be really careful about what they do. I would love to see a Jonathan Kuminga trade some way. That's why I'm wearing the Warriors shirt.
Like, I know that's your ideal scenario, and
process. Okay.
I love that idea to happen. I don't necessarily know that that's the case. Also, looking at the draft board, the amount of times you see the words Brooklyn Nets, still jarring. That's how you do it, man.
Some of those picks will be definitely on the move and will not be taken by the Brooklyn Nets.
5 picks in the first round?
Can't happen.
My goodness.
By the way, I enjoy knowing that you do have a theme with the t-shirts or a process when you wake up in the morning,
Sometimes.
Marshall.
Sometimes I don't.
Okay, but that's interesting to me. I never thought about that. And Layla, too, while I'm doing fashion stuff. Sick headphones. How long have you had those? Usually you go with the TV earbuds.
But they've been pulling out my hair, and then they mess up my hair. I still have them. I might use them tomorrow. They're technically radio headphones, the Shure's.
Okay. Well, those are sick, what you got
these
going
are,
on
these
there.
These are $20 from Amazon.
Really?
Oh. I just liked them because they kept my hair out of my face.
Okay. They look nice.
Sometimes it's that key for me, because if you're taking them off and on all the time, then it gets annoying.
I just wanted to say nice things about both of you really quickly.
Well, that's like it. You too. Yeah.
Love you, Grody.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean that. I wasn't fishing for a compliment.
Bears.
Bears.
Coming up next is halftime. I have a pretty good story, because if you listen to the Midday Show, you're up on it when it comes to trendy whales. Like, you know the latest whale trends, what the orcas are all doing? Well, we have a new trend that just dropped with the orcas.
Did people die?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising, actually. The headline was pleasantly misleading.
Nobody's dead.
Nobody's dead. Would you like to hear it next?
Yes. Yes,
all right.
Layla.
Everybody lives next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is halftime. We have some WNBA news.
This is definitely breaking news. Breaking news on The Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. The Indiana Fever have waived DaWanna Bonner.
What?
And signed Ari McDonald for the remainder of the season, the team announced. And why this is breaking news is because that drastically affects the Fever's chances of doing big things, because DaWanna Bonner is a bucket, a walking bucket.
Yeah, that's somebody should pick her up, because they didn't even trade her.
Oh, no, she will be picked up. It's just interesting that this is what has happened with DaWanna Bonner. Caitlin Clark was high on her, to the fact where she thought that Bonner was going to be her quote-unquote vet. She's 37 years old. It's her 16th year in the league, and she has been great. But she hasn't played lately. There's a rift. I don't know what the cause is. I'm sure the answers will be coming out soon. But she only started 3 of the 9 Fever games, averaging 7.1 points, 3.8 rebounds, and 1.6 assists. Her contract, which was unprotected, $200,000 a season, which doesn't sound like a lot, but trust me,
but
in the WNBA,
that is a lot.
That's a lot of money.
And not just that, but also the Fever had a glut of really good talent that they ended up using when Caitlin Clark was hurt, and one of them was Ari McDonald. And she had a really nice showing, I think, during that time. They signed her to the hardship contract. So she ends up making the team full-time in this.
Also related, Chicago Sky Center, Camila Cardoso, taking a break from her WNBA team. She will be playing on the Brazilian team for the FIBA AmeriCup in Chile with the Brazilian national team. So that's what's going on with the Fever. And that's coming off her 27-point performance as they finally beat somebody. Still not a good team, but they beat the Sparks last night.
Yeah, Sky won last night. So credit to Camila Cardoso for representing her country. That ought to be fun as well.
When's your next Sky game?
Mine is not until July.
Okay.
So we got a little bit of time. I believe it's the 14th. So
all right.
I will be show prepping, though, because, you know, we constantly show prep on this show. So if you also listen to the Midday Show, you're no secret to orcas. You shouldn't be anyway. You know, like, orcas didn't just happen. They've been here for a while. They're pretty big.
And
you
smart.
Know, they're hard to miss. But yes, trendy whales are a thing on the Midday Show. So when I saw the headline, orcas spotted using seaweed to groom each other, I didn't think it was like brushing your hair or something. I thought that they were grooming each other to like work for them, because, you know, orcas are kind of destructive. Like, for example,
they're killer whales.
They get bored and then they just play with yachts in the Strait of Gibraltar or wherever it is in the Mediterranean.
They're bored.
Like, who knew that our biggest antidote to Russian oligarch yachts would be orcas that are bored? Teen orcas.
I don't know if
bored, they're bored. Teenage orcas. Yes, they found out that they were bored. It was a whole study.
But I'm saying, why is it boredom as opposed to just get out of our water?
Or
because
being playful.
They have a consistent food supply. Scientists were able to figure out that it was just them being bored, and they were bored teenagers with nothing to do. So they just started playing with these mega yachts.
The whales.
Whales are cool. So, no, this was not nefarious grooming. This indeed was grooming each other, like you're going to the hair salon.
Aww.
Except for the orcas, it was the skin salon. So, when they're not preying on the largest fish on Earth, or, you know, eating great white sharks because they developed a taste for liver, again, trendy whales, they are doing things like this. They create tools from kelp and appear to use them to help groom one another. They're exfoliating with kelp. Isn't that cute?
Wow.
Kelp and seaweed. Apparently, they do go through some sort of skin-changing process. I don't think it's akin to a snake where, you know, the snake sheds a skin.
I've never seen a whale with bad skin. I mean,
yeah, you know, they're well moisturized.
What's the closest you've ever been to a whale, Mark Grody?
Well, actually, they
look very smooth. Like I could feel the sensation it would be to touch a whale.
Well, you can see sometimes under their fin, it gets a little bumpy. Like that's an indication of captivity.
Like a rash.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Because who didn't want to be a marine biologist at one point in their childhood? if you were a child in the 90s, somewhere in the mix, one of your friends wanted to be a marine biologist.
Because
I saw
Free
Willy once.
That counts.
Okay.
What do you know about whales, by the way?
Not much.
I put it back on you. Yeah.
Although I did go to the aquarium, they just didn't have any whales.
So these whales are so trendy and so picky that they live off the coast of Washington and they exclusively eat salmon. Must be nice, whales.
Delish.
Yeah. No kidding. Save some for the rest of us. But yeah, scientists started to notice that these whales were breaking off the ends of bull kelp stalks. And then they would press the piece of kelp against a buddy, and they would roll the seaweed between their bodies for extended periods of time. So it helps groom them. Isn't that cute?
Whales are awesome.
They basically created whale hairbrushes, but they have no hair.
They call it allo-kelping.
And they just rub against each other. Isn't that cute?
I want a whale.
I know, right?
I don't think Dave wants
to share. Dave needs a friend. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think Dave's going to be sharing your attention like that.
Welp, I got a whale.
Is that going to fit in the condo with Dave?
Maybe not. I got a big lobby. I could probably keep it down there. Yeah, I'm sure they'll love that. Yeah, they like that.
So they do.
Mr. Grody, good morning.
It is exfoliation. They were molting or they had dead skin, so they were likely to do this to one another. So they're eating salmon. They're up with skincare. Whales are basically Gen Z. Good on you, whales.
It's nap time.
What's up, Marshall?
I just thought it was really cute. I don't know.
No,
do you know
like
Marshall do you know that Marshall and I have been walking together? Lately?
Oh, this started last week.
It
has it continued? Are you guys a pod like the whales?
Three times now, I think. I've
Well, I saw you once. We've walked together twice, but I saw you once just on the street as you were going for your big walk when I told you it's going to rain and you're going to die.
And then I ran into him out of the blue. It's been quite a run, Marshall, and I've had.
Love that for you too.
It's been lovely when you really think about it because it's nice to see a friendly face every once in a while.
Yes.
Also, I'm all for guys being dudes and like walking and like hanging out.
Yeah, man. It's been
Sometimes you got to just like have a power walk with your buddy.
Russell and I walked home a portion of the walk home yesterday after the show.
Marshall is the smartest walker I've ever walked with in the city of Chicago.
I'm just about efficiency. Layla's on the same path as me because we've walked all the way to United Center together.
Yes.
Oh, so you guys can understand efficiency.
Yeah.
Also, just like A, cheap. Walking is free.
Oh, yeah. I love
B,
it.
B, steps. That's walking helps.
That's why I'm back, man. God bless Oak Park, but my God, I needed the city.
Yeah.
Get your stocks up, as they say. Or not stocks. Get your...
Stonks? Stock,
stalkers?
I don't know.
Stalkers?
I have those, too.
I honestly don't know. But yeah.
And this segment has come to a thudding halt.
Better to walk than to swim with orcas.
But, you know, I like that the orcas are up in their skincare. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We should get an orca on the radio. I wonder how they figure that out.
Can we get an orca on?
I got to ask you guys about a lot of things. The salmon, the playing with the yachts, what do you do when you're bored, exfoliation.
What we got to do is answer some questions. Five of them to be specifically.
Drunk elephant.
It's all good call. Good call.
See, I know my
it's
stuff.
Almost. It's almost like we have a segment for it, and it is next on the score. Five on it. Five questions. There are questions. They're not the top ones, but they're ours.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.